live in New York for Connect 2016. I'm Dan Fernandez. Now, this session is about data and intelligent apps. Rohan, Tiffany, why don't you quickly introduce yourselves?
Great. My name is Tiffany Wissner. I lead up our data platform marketing, product marketing.
Okay.
I'm Rohan Kumar. I'm the general manager of the database systems group.
Awesome. So any of the tough questions related to licensing, pricing, we'll throw your way, and then you can answer all the technical questions. And one of the key things here, it's about you being able to ask your questions. So if you're on the live stream, you know, you want to ask questions maybe about the new SQL on Linux, new capabilities in SQL 2016, and so on. Get those questions answered directly here on the site, and we'll ask our distinguished panel here. So kind of just to start with, what are some of the key announcements that we heard in the keynote around SQL and SQL on Linux?
Yeah, so the two big announcements actually from the SQL side. The first one essentially is we've released the first public preview of SQL Server vNext. Mm-hmm. And this is the first public release that actually supports installing SQL Server on Linux and within Docker containers. So that's a pretty big one. The other big announcements is we've also released SQL Server 2016, the Service Pack 1. And usually a service pack is just a whole bunch of bug fixes that come together, you know, which we release. But this one's really special because we've made the programming surface area across all the editions of SQL Server consistent. Mm-hmm. So certain features like in-memory OLTP or in-memory column store, which were prior to this change only available in the enterprise editions queue, are now available in the standard and the express edition as well. So it's a pretty big deal for our ISVs and developers.
Yeah. So if I think about it, this is great because all the capabilities, you know, if you just want to walk up, you know, it's a couple minute install, and we were just gushing on how easy it is to install, especially, you know, for folks who are maybe used to the more painful, I would say, installation experience before. But what does it mean? Like, what are the capabilities in Express, and when do I actually want? I realize I have the full programmability in Express, but what are the kind of limitations? Is it licensing, size of database? How do I think about that?
Yeah, I think so. The principle that we followed, you know, with this change essentially is from a developer programming surface area standpoint, there's consistency across all SKUs that I said. Now, the only reason, you know, you would sort of move, you know, like, or you'd sort of choose to go into a higher SKU are a couple of things. One is just performance and scale, right?
Right.
As you know, with the enterprise edition, there's no limits in terms of the amount of parallelism, the amount of cores that you can support, the amount of memory, virtualization rights, et cetera.
Right.
And these, as you go onto the lower SKUs, you know, there are certain restrictions that come with it. The other thing is just from a manageability feature standpoint, when you think about high availability, always on, right? Mm-hmm. Which is not a developer feature. This is what, you know, an administrator would do to set up high availability as an example, right? So those things are how we differentiate the additions. But from a programming surface area standpoint, it's actually pretty consistent.
And so what's great is that developers or ISVs can really build to one programming model across all the editions, and then it can scale based on what customers need. So customers, if they need the operational capabilities, if they need the high availability, can choose enterprise, mm-hmm. or they can get started with standard and also choose to scale later.
Okay. All right. So it's kind of like you're not painting yourself into a corner, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
So, you know, some of the things, when you think about Docker, and deployments, is that kind of the recommended way for more like enterprise scale? Like, is it volume mounting? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, they're ephemeral, meaning I'm not actually maintaining state in the container.
Right. Right.
And I'm doing things like volume mapping to something, maybe to an SSD. How do the recommendations for how to do a deployment change now that you're living in a Docker world?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things. I think one of the big focus areas for SQL Server vNext is having the choice of deployments, you know. So the idea essentially is you build your application, and then when you deploy it, you can deploy it native on Windows, mm-hmm. you can deploy it native on Linux, you can deploy them in virtualized environments on Windows and Linux, you can deploy them in hosting environments, and Docker, of course, is becoming a popular way from a containerization standpoint. And like you said, it's about storing the state on the volumes, but being able to sort of migrate your apps or migrate
right.
your containers in a very seamless way. Like one of the conversations we had with the customer where they said, I want to treat databases inside containers as light bulbs. Mm-hmm. I should just be able to, you know, they switch off, the node goes bad, I just sort of, you know, take them out and change them. So we are enabling that. Now, obviously, when you look at managing, you know, 10,000 instances of SQL,
right?
It's almost impractical to do that with anything outside of a good container model.
Right.
So that's where we're seeing in the enterprises where there's excitement around just ease of manageability.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, there's certain kinds of applications, as an example, when you go into the real tier ones where bare metal becomes, you know, the way to go.
Right.
You have to sort of support those environments as well. a good thing that's happened with us, you know, focusing on Linux and sort of going towards the native experience that we've gone. I mean, you saw the demo,
right,
where, you know, Lara just ran the command and then the whole thing sort of got pulled down. I mean, there's a lot of emphasis that's gone into make that right.
Right.
And, you know, like, doing work like that actually is going to help not just our installation on Linux, but our installation on Windows as well. So I feel pretty excited about that.
So are there any concerns, like, do I have to think, like, in this particular workload, use Windows, in this one, use Linux, or is it, you know, choose what's right for you in terms of things like performance or scalability?
Yeah, I think it's the latter, right? The discussions from a customer standpoint that we've been having is, look, I don't want to worry about what's underneath SQL Server.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to install Windows, I'm going to install Linux. That's a decision that happens 6 months from now. I just want to make sure that when I choose SQL, it's exactly the same database that I come on Windows on Linux. In fact, it's interesting, right? When we made the announcement back in March, there were three questions that came up. Hey, is this going to be a second-class citizen?
Right.
Is the performance and scale going to be the same? Feature parity going to be the same? And is it going to feel like I'm running Windows software on Linux? Right? So we've taken all the three of these things to heart. I mean, the huge percentage of the team in SQL Server VNX from the product team standpoint is very heavily focused on just the native experience. Not just from, if I'm a Linux admin, how should I feel about SQL Server?
Right.
If I'm a Linux developer, if I'm a Mac developer, you know, using Java, Node, Python, whatever it is, right? Like, how do I get the native installation experience where I just do apt-get and then things start flowing?
Right.
Right. And the same thing around performance and scale. It's a huge focus. I mean, we have our goal essentially is to, you know, when we GA, you shouldn't be able to make out any difference between Windows and Linux. And there was a specific milestone that we had set for ourselves from an engineering standpoint for the first public release, and we exceeded it. So I'm actually
fantastic.
Really excited.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so remember, we do have questions here on the live stream. We're going to go to some of these questions. Feel free to get those asked, and we'll ask them in real time. So the first question comes to us from Eugene, who asks, does the MS SQL on Linux support TDE?
Yes.
The answer is yes. and Tabular TDS as well, Tabular Data Stream, I'm assuming.
Correct.
As well.
Yeah. That's okay. The protocol that, yes.
Okay. Next question. Matha Gorham asks, will SQL Server run on a future Raspberry Pi model? This is an interesting question. Raspberry Pi support for more, I guess, micro data?
Services. And yeah, I mean, it's not something that, you know, is currently in our plans. But, I mean, if there are certain scenarios that, you know, they have in mind, then absolutely I'm very open to hearing that.
I have heard there is some teams that have added Raspberry Pi Docker support. So you could, again, this is kind of untested homework for the readers, add Docker support to the Raspberry Pi and then try and do a Docker run and see if it has kind of the right capabilities or prereqs there.
Right.
Yeah. Should be kind of fun thing to do for those of you on weekends.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. As part of the private preview, there has been a lot of customer feedback taken just in terms of what are the scenarios they're looking to run SQL Server on. And so we're encouraging people to continue to share that feedback. Part of bringing it to Linux is really part of listening to from the customers to that start. So please continue to send those scenarios.
Yeah, and thinking about kind of replication and, you know, maybe somebody has it's the offline sales, it's a desktop application, maybe it's even Mac, like who knows. What features, are there features to think about kind of replication where you're in that somewhat connected, disconnected state?
Yeah, so we have this notion of data sync. That's one of the ways in which you sort of replicate within SQL Server. And our goal is, all these core features around replication, query processing, in-memory, OLTP, in-memory column store, to get these working, you know, because these are sort of very heavily used in the enterprise today. So as Tiffany just said, you know, for us, private preview is a lot about just collecting the feedback. The North Star is, you know, you shouldn't be able to make out any difference between what runs and whether it's running on Linux versus Windows. But obviously, there's a question of priority given that, you know, we have to get a release, the RDBMS release out sometime in the second half of next year. Right? That's what we've publicly committed to.
Right.
So just given that, there'll be certain choices, and this is purely based on feedback. Replication is a key thing that we will support.
Okay, and for feedback, what's the best way for customers to give feedback in case, you know, everybody who's watching the live stream and maybe wants to be able to put in their vote for, you know, replication or IoT support?
Yeah, we have the classic channels of feedback, you know, obviously through the Connect process. You know, anybody can go download the, you know, the public bits of SQL Server, you know, running on Linux and VNX. I mean, it runs on Windows as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we have channels through Connect. I mean, there's, you know, obviously, you know, through the the MVP communities have, you know, direct connections with, you know, the product team as well. So those are the things, but, you know.
Yeah, we also, just today, you can be able to download the CTP. We also give people the option just to stay informed of what we're doing in the future on previews.
Okay.
That was something that we had done with the private preview, give the opportunity for learn more. That was one venue that people were providing feedback. So encourage people to sign up for that in addition to downloading the CTP and getting started.
And how do they sign up for that?
At the SQL Server on Linux webpage on the SQL Server website, it'll ask you to stay informed.
Okay, perfect. And that's an email, basically.
Email registration for us to reach out to you.
Fantastic.
There's monthly releases that come out, you know, just like what we did with SQL Server 2016. So it's a very fast feedback cycle, you know, what we're operating on. So I think if people want to stay engaged and give feedback, it's a great opportunity.
Awesome. So back to questions here. Al asks, you've mentioned SQL Server and containers on Linux. What about container support for Windows Nano?
Mm-hmm.
What's the story for Nano support?
Yeah, so we are actively working to get SQL Server working on Nano. And we don't have a release date yet in terms of when the Nano support is going to happen. But, you know, the good news is the underlying architecture, the investments that we built to get SQL Server working on Linux are actually helping us with getting SQL Server to work on Nano as well. So,
okay.
So you should hear about
stay
that.
Tuned stay tuned is the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan asks, any details on licensing pricing on SQL on Linux? Just to put you on the spot.
Great question. We don't have any details on pricing at this time. We're early in the release, as typical with any SQL Server release. From a licensing standpoint, customers that have a license at the time of availability for the next release of SQL will be able to use that license on Windows or Linux. So it is the same license.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, good to know. Roland asks, what about the SQL Server tooling, SQL SSMS or SQL Server Management Studio? Will it be XSplat? Will it be improved VS-like experience? So we saw some of the stuff for VS Code, but why don't you kind of give an overview and how those compare and contrast?
Yeah, so absolutely, you know, like one of the big things that we're focusing on as a part of this release, you know, getting onto Linux is just the tooling support. Like what would, you know, a native Linux administrator use.
Right.
And command line, you know, as we all know, is huge, right? So there's a big focus on making sure that the command line tooling for what we are shipping, both in Bash and PowerShell, is going to be extremely first class, very native, all the way from setup to manageability experiences. So that's one part. The other thing is, of course, you can run SSMS on Windows and, you know, connect to the Linux instance. So that's going to work. There's another area that we are looking into from building a UI tool, because this is some very interesting piece of feedback we received from the Linux community as well, which is it's not only about command line. Of course, that's a huge focus.
Mm-hmm.
But we are looking into sort of building a lightweight UI tool. We haven't closed on the plans yet, but you know, the thought essentially is not taking all of SSMS, but the specific scenarios that, you know, that are being asked for based on the feedback that we're receiving. So you can imagine a lightweight UI tool will get built for it. So overall, a lot of focus on the tooling story end to end.
Okay, and can you talk about the Visual Studio Code extension as well, what that offers kind of today at least?
Yes, so the Visual Studio Code extension allows you to sort of, you know, use that extension within your Visual Studio to connect to SQL Server, execute your T-SQL queries just like you would do from SSMS. And that Visual Studio Code, of course, runs as cross-plat that runs everywhere. And if you go through the tutorials that we've added, there's a website.
Okay.
Where basically, you know, you can go choose the OS platform. It could be, you know, Windows, Mac, or Linux. You know, you can choose the language that you want to build on, and it builds out a bunch of tutorials for you that walks through. And Visual Studio Code is a key part of that.
Okay, and the key is both the tooling and the database. There's that chart of what am I targeting,
correct,
and what my local thing is, and everything just works. So I can be Windows targeting SQL on Linux and Mac targeting Windows.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you can put any combination.
Good answer.
From a drop-down. Yeah. No, I mean, like, in just in all fairness, right? The key themes, if you will, are about choice. Really, like meeting customers where they are and meeting the developers where they are. That's actually a huge, huge aspect of both what we did with SP1, the consistent surface area, and what we're trying to do with Linux and the whole developer experience around it.
Cool.
And especially with Visual Studio Code, it's not just SQL Server on Linux. You can be able to connect to SQL Server all up, Azure SQL Database, Azure SQL Data Warehouse, and Azure Data Lake. So it's actually bringing that experience to our on-prem as well as our cloud services.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Data Lake, because there were some announcements as well. What's kind of the scoop on Data Lake, and what should developers know?
Yeah, today, so Azure Data Lake is our portfolio of services to be able to get up and running on big data. Today, we made both released innovations to Azure HD Insight, which is our current service and availability. Azure HD Insight's built on the Hortonworks data platform distribution, latest on 2.5, and for both Hadoop and Spark. So new innovations of bringing our server, so we GA'd our server on top of HDI today.
Great.
As well as bringing Kafka as a new workload to HD Insight. So continued innovation there.
Oh, Apache Kafka, right.
Yes,
okay.
Apache Kafka, yes. I was bringing that as a new workload. So we continue to innovate and bring new workloads to Azure HD Insight. We also brought to general availability Azure Data Lake Analytics Service, as well as Azure Data Lake Store. So two new services. And Azure Data Lake Analytics allows you to do massively parallel analytics in a job-based format.
Okay. So, somebody that's maybe evaluating all these options, one of the challenges is we have SQL Server Analysis Services, HD Insight, Data Lake. When do I pick which, or is it, all the children are beautiful?
No, there is definitely there's a lot of thought that's gone into. It's really about meeting the developers and the customers where they are. That's how I would say it. I mean, for example, if you're trying to migrate your Hadoop workload onto the cloud, you want a managed service, HD Insight is a beautiful answer. If you're using Hive as your query language, we support that. Like Azure Data Lake, Azure Data Lake Services, the stuff that we GA'd today, it's actually one of its kind in the industry right now. I mean, in terms of, this sort of came out of our internal investment that we had with Cosmos, right?
Right.
Which powers Bing, the entire, Bing and the Azure Telemetry Pipeline, Office 365, Windows. Right, so these are clusters which are spread across 250,000 nodes, and a single query can go across thousands of nodes, and the parallelism is just amazing. So I actually think it's a pretty game-changing, offer that we have in the industry. And when you think about the volume of data, when you sort of get into like the several tens of petabytes of unstructured data, semi-structured data, clickstream, IoT, I mean, you need that level of scale. Now, when you think about Azure SQL Data Warehouse is another, relational data warehouse offering that we have. That's more tuned towards applications that are dealing with, relational data, structured data. They need T-SQL compatibility. There's very strong semantics in terms of, like updates that are needed as they're going on. So there's very clear use cases that are there for every kind of offer that we have. I think you'll see us do a better job of, clarifying it. Because you go up to a 10,000-foot level, everything looks like an enterprise data warehouse, but it's really not.
Right, right. No, but I think that's clear. Like, if you actually have relational database, SQL analysis services and data warehousing,
Correct.
Seems like the obvious answer.
Yeah.
And then the semi-structured is really, and
the
really large workloads.
Yes, that's where you sort of look at the...
Yeah. Terabytes or petabytes or even worse.
Right. And I think the other cool thing that they've added with Azure Data Lake Services is the ability to run... like custom code, you can run C#, use SQL, Python, you can run R right where the data lives, right? So you can imagine like a scaled out environment where your query is running across like thousands of nodes where, all this custom code that you're writing is running on the nodes accessing data. The performance and scale of a system like this is going to be unbelievable.
Right.
And that's where we have customers that are actually using both. The customers who already have existing big data implementations but want to get scale up with the cloud and get up and running with HD Insight. And then customers who want to be able to use their C# and .NET skills to get up and running on big data or Python and R can really use Azure Data Lake. And then the store can underlie both of them. So you put your analytics data in one store, and it really is about using your skills in-house or for the workload in terms of what you want to run on each. So it's really back to that meeting customers where they are.
Okay, great. So back to some of these questions here. Ed asks, does SQL Server for Linux run on Mac?
So you can install SQL Server for Linux in a Docker container and run that on Mac. And we have several engineers within our team that are doing that. So that's how you would run it on the Mac.
Okay, so install Docker for Mac, and you're good to go. Great question. So Dan asks, will SQL clustering also be supported on Linux? So SQL clustering.
Yeah, so SQL clustering is something we are evaluating right now because, today, and I'm assuming this is the question around supporting failover clustering for SQL.
Right.
That has some very, from an implementation standpoint, that has some very strong ties to, the Windows clustering service itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are options that are available on on the Linux operating system which give you the same... functionality in terms of, leader election, witness, and things like that, and we are evaluating that. Our goal is to support high availability on Linux, absolutely.
Okay.
Whether it'll be exactly the same as the Windows implementation, You know, it might be slightly different just given the fact that you're dealing with two different operating systems. But conceptually, being able to have an availability group that spans multiple machines, replicates your data, we will support that.
Okay. Oh, well, that's great to hear. Just from the directional perspective, yeah. The actual implementation is coming soon. Great. Karen Lopez asks, will we see a merging of Visual Studio and SQL Server Management Studio?
Oh,
we got some good smiles, so you know it's a good question. Well done,
Karen. It is a very good question. You know, in terms of the SQL Server, the good news is the SQL Server developer tools, you know, can be hosted inside Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
There are no current plans, in all transparency, of sort of taking all of SSMS and merging that into Visual Studio. This question sort of has come up. I mean, it's to me, it's sort of not risen at a point where this is a huge pain point, right? But again, I'd love to hear feedback on this. But there are no current plans to sort of merge SSMS and Visual Studio.
Kim? Actually, one kind of just follow-up question on the SQL Server and Management Studio. So is there any reason you couldn't use the Visual Studio support to target SQL on Linux? So for people that are using the SQL Server support burned into, for lack of a better word, Visual
Studio? Oh, absolutely, you can. I mean, so everything that, you know, from a building your, you know, data layer on SQL and sort of deploying it mm-hmm. on Linux, all of that is absolutely going to work. Now, there's certain manageability operations that are only captured in SQL Server Management Studio.
Okay.
Those you would still have to use SSMS for. But.
So, and, you know, a lot of the conference, we heard about some of the new capabilities for Visual Studio for Mac as well. And, you know, they're targeting ASP.NET and some of the data tooling there. Is that another answer that you all are looking for, kind of capabilities or maybe tooling? Because now you have Visual Studio, Visual Studio for Mac, and Visual Studio for Visual Studio Code, and SSMS. So
choices.
Yeah. Right. So kind of what's the answer there, especially because so many ASP.NET developers, they're building something against a relational database.
Yeah, again, we work very closely with the Visual Studio team. And, I mean, the Visual Studio for Mac announcements mean great. I mean, there's awesome to sort of go make that happen. And as, you know, the teams make progress, I'm pretty sure we'll work closely to see how, you know, in that environment, you know, everything around just ASP.NET targeting a SQL database is going to work out clean. Our focus at this point, frankly, is Visual Studio Code.
Okay.
Let's get that right, yeah.
Yeah. And because we were talking about some of the things that Miguel and team had done, so some people are using SQLite for iOS and Android as kind of like a client database. And we think about that other replication scenario where it may not be a desktop.
Yes.
Are you all looking at that scenario, like on the iOS, Android side, specifically like a version of SQL, if you will, that's really lightweight, portable for mobile?
Yeah, so the way we are looking at that is not sort of displacing what's there on the client. I mean, we have very good options, like SQLite is one of them on iOS and Android. I think the key question there is from a data group strategy standpoint, how do you get that data, sync that to the cloud, and perform intelligent analytics on it? I mean, there's lots of value we can add. So I'd say that's the play, you know, from a strategy standpoint, like how do we build data sync solutions from all these, you know, like where you can sort of get data out of these databases that's there in iOS, get them into Azure, and provide value to the customers on that. We are having extensive discussions around that topic, yes.
Okay, great. So back to our questions here. Whit asks, what's the timeline of making the new functionality announced in SQL 2017 available in SQL, Azure SQL as well? So SQL 2017 has some announced. Okay. There's Azure SQL DB.
Yes.
When do they
so as a principle,
pass
actually,
cross?
Yeah, so as a principle, our approach to engineering has been cloud first. So, you know, like internally, we have a single main line that powers, you know, what ships in SQL Server and what goes to, you know, SQL Azure or SQL Data Warehouse. So most of the features, I know there are exceptions to these, most of the features, you know, follow them. By the time they land up in the vNext release of SQL Server, we would already have them in Azure SQL Database.
Great.
The exceptions to these are our services, which we released as a part of SQL 16, and we are actively working on that and getting that into Azure SQL DB. So you should hear that in the next few months.
Okay. And can you elaborate a little on what is the R services and why should, you know, maybe developers watching this care? And obviously the R, people that are using R already know, but perhaps the people who aren't looking at R, what's their use cases or scenarios?
Using our services is really a fantastic way of bringing more intelligence and actually bringing the intelligence to the data in the database, as opposed to, in many cases, people are building a data warehouse or taking data outside of their database and doing their analytics there. Our services built into SQL Server allows you to actually do that predictive analytics on top of your operational data and really build applications that have real-time intelligence built in. It's a really fantastic way of when creating some innovative app scenarios, some of which we saw this morning, but lots in terms of other customer possibilities of way to bring that real intelligence to your app. Our server overall, we've really been building it across the platforms. You've seen we GA'd our server in HCI today. We've brought it to SQL Server. It's really been building into many of our technologies because people are really interested in being able to take advantage of that intelligence.
Okay, cool. George asks, would it be possible to have distributed transactions between databases on Windows and Linux? That is a fun one. Begin Tran and go.
Go. No, well, so I don't see why not. I mean, if you take a look at the layer at which distributed transactions is built and, you know, the kind of, you know, functionality we are exposing both and, you know, it's just another target. I mean, so, you know, have I done it myself? No, but I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work.
And I guess the other idea is just kind of expanding on that or riffing on that. You could have a cluster where it doesn't matter what operating system it is, Windows, Linux, one machine goes down, the other one's up, and you know it's OS agnostic, if you will.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be so cool.
Yeah, and you know, and we had like trying out scenarios where people are saying, I want my primary to run on SQL Server on Windows and my secondaries to run on SQL Server on Linux because a lot of the analytic tools that I'm running, that's the environment I want to run them on. So. And I think this is fundamentally the reason where you have to sort of build this in a way where it's completely agnostic to the underlying OS.
Right.
It's just given the depth of installation we already have on Windows, not playing well across OSs is just not going to be the right strategy.
Okay. Very cool. So Maher Jandubi asks, which language is SQL Server on Linux written in? So
I mean, it's
programming language.
It's basically most of the core engine is written in C and C++, so that sort of continues to be the case. I mean, we are basically, architecturally, one of the things, one of the cool innovations that we are at SQL Server vNext is this notion of a SQL platform abstraction layer. So think of it very similar to what Windows has, where it abstracts
SQL
out
the SQL PAL, if you will.
SQL
sure.
PAL. SQL PAL is something, which is something that I'm very excited about because this is going to be the cornerstone, not just, like I said, of having multiple OS support, but we have very grand plans of building a lot of resource governance inside it, a lot of monitoring capabilities inside it. This is how, like I said, we're trying to get Nano as well. So, yeah, so mostly C and C++. I mean, outside the engine, of course, we build a lot of stuff which uses managed code, but yeah.
Right. And now that managed code is cross-platform, you can have, basically a stored
anytime
procedure
right.
using .NET, and everything will work cross-platform.
Correct.
So cool. George asks, do you have plans for a multi-dimensional model on SQL Server analysis services on Azure?
So SQL Server, I see. Yeah, so from a roadmap standpoint, I think, I haven't seen anything being called out as yet.
Okay.
But I know this question has come up as soon as we made the public preview of analysis service analysis.
Oh, yeah.
I know, that team is... several folks have asked this question saying when I'm going to get the MDX support. And so I think we should sort of, without sort of talking for them, I assume that this is something along the roadmap they're going to do it.
Yeah, and certainly a lot of customers have already made investments in MDX already. So it's kind of, they're looking, I'm sure, to take their investments in the cloud.
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah.
I would just say customers have been really excited about having Azure Analysis Services come to preview. That has been something that's been a large customer request. So customers can get started with Azure Analysis Services today in the tabular model.
Correct.
Awesome. Okay, so our last question here is Alan, which asks, what about container support for SQL Server on Server Core, meaning not Nano? Mm-hmm. So full Server Core, if you will. Is that supported today?
Yes, that's supported today in terms of, like SQL Server running on Server Core is supported today, and as long as that can be hosted, inside a Docker container, which I think it can, it should just work.
It should just work. Okay, so this has been awesome, Tiffany, Rohan. What would you suggest, for people to give preview feedback? It sounds like it's Connect is the place to go.
Yeah, and Connect and the website SQL Server on Linux that Tiffany called out. And absolutely, the other thing I'd say is, we are very excited, getting involved in just the monthly releases. We very committed to sort of reacting to feedback very quickly, doing these monthly updates, learning, and then getting this thing out there.
Fantastic. All right, well, thank you both. And coming up next, our dear friend Seth Juarez is going to interview Julia and John and ask questions on Visual Studio 2017 and probably a lot more. So, Seth, I'm going to be watching. It's going to be fascinating. And I'll turn it over to you, sir.